Okay. So I thought about it like this. Yep, nailed it, Noah. Beautiful.
Which one?
Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, Any Given Sunday. Oh, now we're ready. Okay. You know, we go into Yom Tovim every year. And some of us, you know, we do it because it's this cultural thing. We do every year. Jews have their Rosh Hashanah seats, their Yom Kippur seats. We go, we do Yom Tif, we do Shofar. But, and we try. Some of us try. Most of us, I would assume, try to change something each year. We try. We attempt, even if we don't pre-plan it on Elul like we're supposed to, we at least on Rosh Hashanah think about something. If not on Rosh Hashanah, by the time Yom Kippur is coming to a close, I would say, I would guess 90% of us here are definitely thinking about improving in some area. And then we find ourselves the same place each year. And I said, what if we're going about this the wrong way? Baal Shem Tov says everything in life is, Torah is anything in life that teaches you. And I thought to myself, you know what would be a great idea? What if we look at the way, one of the greatest in history, somebody who worked harder almost, than his work ethic is almost stronger than anybody else in history. We take somebody like Kobe Bryant, who's achieved amazing things, and follow the patterns, the clues that he's left behind for his success, and see if we could use any of that to give ourselves a Yom Narayim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that we've never seen before. Now, we have to be careful when making these comparisons, because even if we pick people, we're going to look at people beyond Kobe Bryant, and none of them on a Jewish level may be ideal paradigms of what we would call a tzaddik. But it doesn't make a difference. You're looking at certain behaviors and certain attitudes and certain ways of going about things that we could adapt for our own experiences. And from that, we're able to learn. From that, we're able to learn amazing stuff. So I'd like to take a look at the dedication and discipline of Kobe Bryant, also from the quotes, from the things he said himself, from the things that writers have written about him, and see what we could do with those yesodos, and to see if those fundamental ideas are things that are palpable with what we believe. So, I start with Kobe Bryant himself. Everything for me is all about excellence. Everything. Nothing else matters. People will say all the time, I'll do whatever it takes. But I choose to truly live that. Every detail of my life, every hour of my day, the lonely time I spend in the gym, everything revolves around excellence. Now that's a powerful idea, and that's why I chose Kobe Bryant, because we have we've gone to the extreme. We were in outreach mode, and we still are, and because we're in outreach mode, everything we do is delicate, without it ever dawning on us that maybe our Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur needs to be intense. Why should it be less intense than the way Kobe Bryant goes out to training before the season starts? But we take it slow, we take it soft, we don't want to offend anybody, we don't want to push anybody too hard. Fine, that's for everybody else, but for us, you came tonight, this is going to be no holds barred. That's it. If Kobe puts in 110, we could put in 110. I remember once in my shul, when I was a rabbi in Manhattan, I had there a football player, two-time Super Bowl champion, his name was John Frank, was on the 49ers, and John Frank was there, first one there at my Daf Yomi share. He was there before I got there. He said, Coach Jimmy Johnson always said, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. It's those kind of mentalities that we think is just for the football field. It's not for Judaism. It should be nice. We'll bring a nice lulav. We'll smell it. We'll get the cheap etrog because why not? It's the cheapest one. These guys live and breathe their game. We should at least be doing close to that, if not more. So let's start. The first idea. Kobe lives what it means to be relentless, to be the best. And being the best means whether it's in sports, whether it's in business, or any other aspect of your life, to have the belief that it's not enough just to keep moving, that you stay there. You have to get to your goal and want to even climb higher. That's what it means to be relentless, because you know there's always somebody right behind you who's catching up. That's what relentless is for Kobe Bryant. There is a concept in Judaism of Kina Sofrim Tarba Chachma, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, that jealousy among Talmidei Chachamim increases wisdom. That will to want to know more than the next person. The will to want to be able to do more mitzvahs, do more good deeds, to create more change in the community. That impulse, that's a healthy impulse. It's a very healthy impulse to look and say, this person was able to accomplish all that. I want to double that. I want to up that ante. I want to keep going forward. I'll tell you the following idea. I remember seeing the newspaper when Mike Tyson hit the ground for the first time. And it was Osaka, Japan. Buster Douglas had knocked him out. And everybody was shocked. It was on the cover of Shabbos Morning. You walk by the houses and you see Mike Tyson on the floor, something no one would ever think they'd see. What happened? What's the pshat? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos goes through the 10 tests. Fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Gimel. Asara nisyonos nisnasa Avravinu. Avravinu went through 10 tests. But Amud Bekulam, and he withstood them all. Lahodia kama chibasa shal Avravinu alav Hashem. How much love God, how great his love was for God. He loved it. He did all of them. What was his 10th test? Classic opinion is that his 10th test was the Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. That's the no greater test than that. Rabbeinu Yonah switches, his girsa switches the order around. He's got the binding of Isaac as the 9th test, and number 10, he's got buying a burial plot for his wife Sarah as number 10. Problem on Rabbeinu Yonah is, okay, whatever you assume is the test in him going forward and buying that burial plot, it doesn't compare. What kind of test do you get after Akedas Yitzchak? It's it, go home. You know, close the locker. You've done the greatest. Why do you need the 10th? What was the purpose of that 10th test? The answer to that is Mike Tyson. What happened with Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson beat them all. He knocked out Spinks in a minute and a half. Remember that one? In a minute and 32 seconds, he knocked out the best. There was no more competition. What happens when you get to the top? Do you stay up there, or you keep fighting to be there and even greater? And that's how we say the Tehillim, L'David Mizmor, in Rosh Hashanah, we're going to say L'David Mizmor at night in davening. L'David Mizmor L'Hashem, and then we say, Mi ya'ale bahar Hashem, who can climb up the mountain of God? Umi yakum bimkom kocho, and who could stay up there? It's one thing to climb up there, but it's another thing to be able to stay up there. That's what it mamish means to be relentless. To be relentless in your Yiras Shemayim means that I grow in an area, I work on myself, I build myself up, but I don't just stop there. I don't just let it stop. I stay strong, I fortify myself, and I keep going. That's exactly what happened with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson turned and said he beat everyone in the world. Started slipping. He lost his edge. But that's miya ale bahar Hashem, umiya kum bimkom kocho. To be relentless is to do whatever it takes to stay on top. That's the first idea. Second idea about Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant believes that being the best means engineering your life so that you never stop until you get that which you want. And you keep going until you get what's next. And then you go for even more. You go for even more. So in the area of acquisition, in the area of whether food or whether money, yes, Jewish viewpoint is that's not always healthy. More often than not, it's unhealthy. But in the areas of ruchnius, again, spirituality, there's never enough. You can always be hungry for more. You can always want more. So what's this idea of ratzon, of will, in Judaism? I'm going to tell you one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. This is from the Ale Shor, Rav Volbi, one of the great, he was considered the Mashkiach, not the Kashrus Mashkiach, the guidance counselor of all of Israel in the last 100 years. So he says like this, Koach echad mekanen b'chol adam. There is one power that exists in all human beings. Ha'amuk shebekochos, the deepest of all powers. Koach kabirhu, it's a mighty koach. Lamaisim hu mevi, it brings you to action and it illuminates your way. It's ratzon, it's willpower. Bidvarenu ala ratzon, when we're speaking about will, I don't mean things you want that float in and float out at times. That's just imagination. Oh, I want that the pig in a blanket, the next minute I'm not even thinking about that. It's in and out, in through one ear, out the other. No. You can centralize all your energy, your ani, your I, in one ratzon. Ein lecha davar ha'omed bifnei ratzon. There is nothing that stands in the way in front of what you want. That's the Gemara in Yom Lamech Chesem Beis. Says Rav Volbi, everyone tells you, you get what you want. That's not true. I want to be a basketball player. There ain't no way I'm going to be a basketball player. What does that mean? So Rav Volbi says a great yesod. If you truly wanted something, for the most part, I'll put in the words for the most part. If you truly wanted something, for the most part, you would have worked till you got it. If you don't get it, it means at some point along the way, you gave up on wanting to get it. You weren't hungry enough to want it. Larry Bird, right? Larry Bird notoriously as a kid shot 500 shots a day. Went to his backyard, threw up 500 shots a day. He willed himself into the NBA. He wanted himself there. Ratzon. And says Rav Volpe, the scary thing is now, you can look at a person and their lives, and that'll tell you exactly what they wanted out of their life. If you've seen they've become a lowlife, they've become a degenerate, you know that's what they've wanted. Because if they would have truly wanted out with every fiber of their being, they would have found a way out. Yes, are there outliers? Are there exceptions? Are there things beyond our control? No matter what I do, this little Jew ain't going to be a basketball player. Of course, there are things out of our ability. But I'll phrase it the way Tony Robbins phrased it. Right? He says, that's a bunch of you know, hokey pokey, but people tell you that anything you want, you can get. He says, but I will tell you this. The things you thought you couldn't do, more often than not, those things you're capable of doing. The things you thought you couldn't do, you usually can do. And that's a much healthier way of phrasing it. Because we sell ourselves short from 90% of things that we really could have attained and gotten in our lives. So the second idea from Kobe Bryant is this idea of engineering your life towards that which you want. If you want something so bad, you go for it until you get it. That power of Ratzon. If you really want it to change, if you turn to God and you're crying and you're davening and you're saying you want it to change, you have the ability to do it. Ein hadavar toli ela bi, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says. It's in your power. It's up to you. If you wanted a better life for you and your family, you could have made that happen. If you wanted to be a person who's more peaceful at home, you could make that happen. Well, I don't have the skill set. Well, then go get help. You have the resources to make all of this happen. That's Ratzon. The next idea from Kobe Bryant. Kobe says, I use a very simple formula. I decide, I commit, I act. If succeed, I repeat. You hear that? I decide, I commit, I act. If I succeed, I repeat. And keep washing it over and over. And you have to be comfortable with repeating that same thing over and over. Keep working out the same exact way every single day. Most of us can't handle that. Most of us, we have to keep switching topics. If we're learning a Gemara, we're excited to open that Gemara. But we got to be out of there in 2 weeks. If we start going to a series at a shul, right? We could do it. We're excited. It's new. We're going to start. We got ADD. We can't handle it. We're done the third class in. We're on to the next. If we commit ourselves to doing something for other people, going to Tomchei Shabbos, it's exciting first couple times, but we're not willing to commit consecutively in the way that Kobe Bryant's talking about. Let me share with you this. Listen to this. You want to know intense? You want to talk about Kobe Bryant levels? By the way, I'm just going to use one lahavdil at the beginning, and please let it count for the rest of this year, because we'll be crisscrossing a lot back and forth. And it's going to get confusing, but hopefully you can sift through who's who. This, again, this shir is not, this is no sugarcoating. This is not for the faint of heart. If you want like a sweet little Judaism, you know, sweet little, where it's all about your heart and forget everything else, that's not tonight. That's not tonight's shir. Listen to Rav Elyashiv. Okay, you ready for this? A guy comes, there's a new Sefer, stories about Rav Elyashiv, it's all. A guy comes to Rav Elyashiv and says, I want to know how you became such a big masmid. That's his shaila, he asked Rav Elyashiv. You get only a few moments, Rav Elyashiv. You better ask a good question. He said, how did you become such a big masmid? Rav Elyashiv and the Gabayim brushed him away. The guy wasn't letting it go. He was curious. He went again to Rav Elyashiv. So Rav Elyashiv saw this guy kept coming to Rav Elyashiv, says, look, I'm going to tell you this now. Think about it tonight if you want to hear my answer, because it's not going to sit well with you. I don't think you're going to be handled. You're going to be able to handle that which I'm about to tell you. Come to me tomorrow, same time, if you still want to know. He goes to sleep that night, this guy, says the name, and he goes to sleep, says the next day, he wants to know how Rav Elyashiv became such a masmid. Comes back to Rav Elyashiv the next day and says, I want to know. So I'm giving you one last chance to back out. Lo nearly kol kach matim lecha. I don't think it's going to be so, it's not so healthy for you, not so good for you to hear this. He goes, no, I want to hear it, I'm ready. When I was young teenager, I had a feeling in my heart that I missed the notion of friendship, of communicating with another person. I've been learning day and night since I was a very little kid. I forgot what it was like to speak, just casually have conversation with another human being. And I felt in my heart that I was longing and missing that kind of communication in my life. So I thought to myself, when my next chavrusa comes, he seems like a fun guy, he's always walking in with a smile, maybe I should stop him the first couple minutes and ask him how he's doing, how's life, what's going on. He started to approach me. I was nervous. My heart was beating. I was going to begin to ask him questions that I don't normally ask, like what's going on? What's new with you? What's happening? And as he sat down, I thought to myself, I said, you know what? He came today to learn. I'll do it later. I don't want to throw him off yet. So we learned. After he left, it escaped me. I got lost in the sugya. I didn't get a chance to ask him. But I said, you know what? My chavrusa at night, you know what? He's not such a good conversation. He doesn't look like he's a guy you could have a conversation with. I'll wait till this chavrusa comes back again tomorrow. He came back again tomorrow, and I was ready to ask him, and I was so excited I was going to ask him. My heart felt like it needed it. And I turned, I was about to ask him, and I said, wait a second. I haven't done this in so long. I might not ask the right question. Let me just leave it for another day. Rabbi Yoshev says, I deferred asking the question of what's going on, how are you, tell me what's new, for 85 years. Tell me, can you handle that? Now that's intense, my friends. That makes Kobe Bryant look like Peter Pan. Now I'm not saying any of us are nearly capable of coming anywhere, even 4 minutes of handling this. But I want you to know that we're wired with the capability of intense and extreme measures of taking upon ourselves tremendous and lofty goals, things that you never thought you were capable of in your life, things that you never thought you were able to do. The human condition allows you to be able to do them. I'm not saying that's an ideal for any of us. I'm saying that ability of the great ones, that ability is within us to stretch ourselves beyond imagination. And that's the idea of Kobe. Kobe Bryant says, I decide, I commit, I act. If it works, I repeat over and over and over, even if it makes me sick. And that's the idea, that you find a rhythm and you're willing to repeat it. You're willing to daven that marv every single night without failure. You're willing to put on tefillin every single day. Someone in our community showed me a picture of his time when he was in the hospital. It was a picture of him with his tefillin on. He didn't know what was flying. He just had surgery. He told his father before he goes under to make sure to put tefillin on me while if I wake up and I don't know what's happening. And there he was in the hospital bed putting tefillin on. That's relentless. That's commit, act, decide, succeed, wash and repeat. Keep going over again. Let's continue. A biographer about Kobe says, for the average person, you would need to think, if you wanted to think Kobe for yourself, this is what you would need to think. If your plan was to drop 30 pounds, no, you make it now 34. That's how you become unstoppable. Constant battle, placing no limits on yourself. Not just in sports, in everything you do. When you make a goal, you set it higher, and you crave even more than what you set for yourself beforehand. You understand? If you set for yourself to be someone who learns Mishnah every so often, okay, you probably will fall one step short of that. But when you hit your first goal, you keep pushing yourself even further than you thought you can go. You push yourself one step further. You move the bar even higher. Now listen to this. I just was sent this a week and a half ago from the Koidenover Rebbe. Koidenover Rebbe is a beautiful Rebbe in B'nai Brak. Sweet, sweet Rebbe. It says like this, on the Pasuk, Ki teitzei lemilchama, when you go out to battle. Hainu sha'adam tzarech latzeis b'matzavo haragi. You know what teaches you? That we all need to get out of our regular situation and move into a matzav shel milchama, and move into a position of war. Lihiyot ba'ofen tamidi b'matzav shel milchama. You gotta always stay in battle mode. Ve'i hashlama imatzavo, and never at peace with where you're at right now. Sarech kol hazman lehilachem. You need to be willing to wage war. Afilu lamid pamim biyom. Even 30 times a day. Afilu im nofel tzarech lakum. Even if you fall, you need to keep getting back up over and over. That's ki teitzei lemilchama. A Jew has to look at his day like he's going out to battle every single day. You want to hit that alarm clock and get back in bed? There's no time to hit the alarm clock. You're going out to war right now. You get up and you go to Mincha. Should I go to Mincha? Should I get some more work done? I got war right now. I'm going over to Mincha. Someone needs my help in the community. I could push it off. I could later. War can't wait till later. Ki teitzei lemilchama aloi becha. And you one up it each time. It's that great quote. Someone's got to get me the exact quote from Capone. Sean Connery and Capone. You know how you get Capone. He hits you in the leg, you put him in the morgue. That's how you get Capone. That's the idea. You one up. Every time you set for yourself a bar, you push it one step higher, and you move yourself even further. Next idea from Kobe. This one's a little bit more controversial. Kobe Bryant says that when you're seeking to do something great, you can't worry about what other people or other what your actions may upset other people or what they're gonna thinking what they're gonna think of you. Take the emotions out of this. When you gotta get something done, you get it done. So there's a yes and no caveat in our Judaism with that. There is an idea of caring that other people. You should be the Mishnah in Perek Avos says that we should be Oev al Abrios. We should be acceptable to people. They shouldn't see us as a nar, as a fool. And there's something called mechzi kayuhara, that you don't look like a show-off to other people. But the Mishnah Brura does say there in Simen Ches about the lachas of hikon, preparing yourself, the Mishnah Brura does point out but that when something is the right thing to do, you don't care what people think of you. If there's something that's supposed to be done and it's the right thing, you ignore what the other person thinks of you. It's irrelevant what that other person may think of you. If you know what you have to do is the right thing, then you go ahead and do it, and you don't be afraid. You don't be afraid. If somebody's hurting someone and you're afraid that if you're going to say something, you're going to offend that person, the right thing to do is you stand up for the weaker person who can't defend themselves, and you don't care what that other person thinks. That's what it means to stand up for them. That's what it means to do something for them. When Dwayne Wade broke Kobe Bryant's nose, gave him the concussion during the All-Star game, Kobe wanted to see him face-to-face before he went to the hospital. Why? Kobe said it wasn't about vengeance. It wasn't about retaliation or settling any score. I was never going to hit him back. It was about law and order of the jungle. Two animals instinctively facing off. And one direct silent look before I walked off that had to say, I still own this. For him to look him in the eyes, Kobe, imagine that Kobe looks him right in the eyes before he walks off to the hospital. He didn't want him to think that he hurt Kobe. Kobe got there, pulled it together, and looks him at the eyes. That kind of fierceness, while it may not apply in areas that are beyond the scope of our duties and obligations, but in the areas that are the areas where we need to be working on, then there's no stopping it. And the famous story of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer was growing as a kid. He was very sharp. He was brilliant. And he gave a shir. And all of a sudden he sat in the shir of the Rav of the Shul. And the Rav of the Shul got up and the Chasam Sofer ripped apart the shir. He knew that the rabbi was just saying wrong stuff. And after the shir, his father smacked him. His father smacked him. In a famous incident, Rav Nosson Adler told his father, step out of the way. You're getting in the way of the Chasam Sofer becoming the Chasam Sofer. And from that point on, Rav Nosson Adler became the Chasam Sofer's surrogate father. It's also, again, these stories are not for the faint of heart tonight. Don't you came tonight for little cute Rabbi Nachman stories, are we all going to sing Kumbaya? That's not tonight. The Chasam Sofer, Rav Nosson Adler knew that he was going to grow the Chasam Sofer here. This man was going to be a genius and a powerhouse. And there was no playing games. There was no halfway. There was no in-between over here. There was nothing in the middle. And therefore, he knew he had to keep the Chasam Sofer under his wings. Next idea from Kobe. One author who's been writing about Kobe, actually Kobe's trainer, also wrote a lot about Kobe. He's the trainer for Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade. Kobe Bryant, he says that the way Kobe does something, Kobe forgets about losing. He forgets it. He doesn't think about losing. But more importantly, he forgets about trying. Trying means that losing is still an option for you. Kobe goes out there as though there's no tension even in what he's doing. There is no trying. He's just doing. The Baal HaTanya writes that there are two ideas when fighting the Yetzer Hara. There's iskafia and there is ishapcha. Iskafia is the level that many of us, when we fight the Yetzer Hara, iskafia is we're trying to push it down to the ground. That's the level of trying. Says Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Baal HaTanya, that the higher level is not iskafia. The higher level is ishapcha, is that you've taken the Yetzer Hara, you've flipped him on the ground, and now you've dragged him, and now he's your supporter. You own him. You understand that? You've taken the Yetzer Hara and it's no longer trying. For the tzaddik, it's no longer trying anymore. You've obliterated the Yetzer Hara so much that you're not forcing it down. You've now flipped the Yetzer Hara, and that's what the Gemara says, b'chol modecha, mishnei yitzercha, with b'chol avavcha, with all your heart, with use your Yetzer Hara to serve God. Meaning, the Yetzer Hara now serves you, not the opposite. You use it. You use your ego in the service of others. How use your ego in the service of others? Rav Shimon Shkop says, "V'hafta l'reacha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself." If you have no ego and no love of self, then the love your neighbor of yourself is going to be a very low barometer. There has to be some ego there. Once there's an ego, then you could properly love another person as much as yourself. You understand? That's v'hafta l'reacha kamocha. That's this idea: iskafia versus ishapcha. That you're able to take the etzar, you throw it down, you get to the point where it's not even trying anymore. It's yours. You've moved it till it's yours. Being relentless, and this is the seventh idea. Being relentless means never being satisfied. It means anytime I get to one level, I create a new goal and I shift my challenge up another notch. This is Rav Dessler's classic idea. Rav Dessler says, take for example, for us, by and large, killing somebody, right? We're not going to get reward in this room for not killing anybody. None of us are going to get reward for that. You know why? It's not our battlefield. It's not our issue. Where we may get reward is in the area of fighting back and making sure we didn't speak Lashon Hara here and there. or fighting back and make sure we did put on that tefillin on that day we didn't feel like it. Everybody's got their own battlefield. And that's where you receive your reward. Rav Dessler says, what really makes you a tzaddik is when you're able to take that battlefield and you're able to keep moving it forward. You're able to keep throwing it forward and push it up another notch, another notch, another notch. You keep shifting up that battlefield to where the earlier stuff, whether, let's say, keeping Shabbos is no longer a struggle anymore. That's not your battlefield anymore. You've just moved your battlefield in a whole new area. Now it's about whether or not you're going to daven a little bit each day. Then your battlefield gets moved up. That's what Kobe's saying, that being relentless is not just about staying strong in what you're doing. It's about constantly moving up your game till that which you do and that which is your tension is something new. You know, you find it with davening. You thought for yourself you could never get up earlier to go to davening. And you find that once you get in a rhythm of doing it, you'll be shocked. It's no longer your challenge. It's no longer your issue anymore. Whatever it is you do, that chesed, that visiting somebody in a hospital, that first time is kind of difficult, it's awkward. What am I going to say to that person? You get it going 4 or 5 times, you shift your battlefield. And now your challenge and your tension is somewhere else entirely. Keep moving your battlefield. That's the idea over here. That's the idea. Keep moving it over. One sports commentator compared Kobe Bryant to a cleaner. A cleaner is somebody who just cleans up and does the job. They climb high because if they fail, they don't mind that the fall will kill them. Cleaners are willing to die trying. They don't worry about hitting the ceiling or the floor. There is no ceiling. To them, there is no floor. Listen to what Michael Jordan said about failure. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the winning shot and I've missed. And I failed over and over again in my life. That's exactly why I succeed. What a great yisod. Most of us, we fail, we pack up our bags and we go home. Let someone else do it next time. Michael Jordan failed, said I'm coming back bigger the next time. Robert F. Kennedy, only those who dare to fail greatly can ever achieve greatly. Unbelievable idea. I'll read to you a letter from Rav Huttner. You memorized this letter right here. This is a powerhouse letter from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner writes the following. Dalecha Chabibi, my good friend. I want to explain something to you. Dalecha Chabibi. Shashorish nishmatecha, the root of your soul, hi lo hashalva. This should be on the refrigerator. The root of your soul, hi lo hashalva shel hayetzer atov. It's not the tranquility of your yetzer tov. Eladavka milchemto shel hayetzer tov. It's your war that you have with the yetzer. You understand? The root of your soul is not the tranquility of your soul, it's the battles of your soul. Umichtavecha hayakar, and your precious letter, hanilvav meid kamea edim ki achen lochem neman. It shows me that you're fighting a good fight. Ba'anglit omrim, in English they have a line, lose a battle and win the war. Dahainu, what does that mean? Ba'vadei shehinech nishal va'omed liot nishal. Yes, you have fallen and you have stumbled. And yes, you are designed to fail over and over. Ubekama mareches tipol, and in many areas you will fall. Aval ani maftiach lecha, but I do guarantee you, shela achar hefset kol ma'arachos, but after each loss of every little ma'arachos campaign, out of the loss of every little campaign, teitzem min ha'melchama, you will come out of the war, kishazar al roshcha, with a crown on your head. Hachacha mikol adam omer, a wiser man than anybody else. This was Shlomo wrote in Kohelet. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Great line, huh? Tzaddik falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Now watch what Rav Huttner says. This is the gold right here. For this alone, it was worth tonight. V'hatip shim choshvim. The foolish people think it means the following. That even though 7 times the tzaddik falls, he's strong enough that he can keep getting back up. Right? He can keep coming back up. Aval chachamim, but the wise person understand this line exactly what it means. Shemahut hakima shel hatzadik, hi hasheva hanefilas shelo. The ability for the tzadik to get back up is the 7 falls that came before it. You understand that? Sheva yipol v'tzadik, he must fall 7 times so that he can properly get up. V'yira et kol asher asa v'hinei tov me'od. So you can look back and see, yeah, that's good. That's it. Tov ze yetzer tov. You remember, anybody knows that Rocky, the last Rocky that came out, was it Rocky 7? What are we up to? Rocky 6? He's right there. He's in the gym with his trainer. And the trainer turns to him and says, your legs are weak. You got no more speed. Cartilage, right? The tissue cartilage is damaged and this. You can't do this. Your reflexes are slow. You've slowed down. You've been hitting the head too much. Your eyesight's gone weak, so you can't do any quick moves. So all we got left is blunt force trauma. And because of that, Rocky's got to adapt this whole game, and that's Dafka the edge that he needs to be able to beat his opponents. That's Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. We're going to hit him so hard that his ancestors are going to feel it. I forgot the other line, but there's another good line there. That's the idea. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. The falling is part of the Kima. Ahavi, my beloved. Hineni lochetz otcha el levavi. What does that mean, Avi? Help me with that. Hineni lochetz otcha. I'm pressing you el levavi, to my heart, right? I'm pressing to my heart. Velochesh, and I'm whispering you in your ear. And this is great. He says, you think the chaf. The problem with these biographies about Gedolim, says Rav Huttner, is they skip over the seven times that they fell before they became the Gadol. There's a biography put out by the Chafetz Chaim's son. It was never put out fully because we're missing half the manuscript. His son said, everybody thinks my father was a nice, sweet guy, the Chafetz Chaim, but they don't realize he had red hair. What does that mean, he had red hair? It means he's got a temper. But he goes, that's what made my father great. Whenever he started getting angry, he pulled off to the corner, grabbed his fist together, took a deep breath in, cooled off, turned around, and controlled himself. That's what made my father the Chafetz Chaim. It wasn't that he was born. He was born perfect. He worked on himself so that he became a more perfect person. That's what Rav Huttner says. That's Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. That you need to fall so you know how you can get back up. It's amazing. Powerful, powerful stuff from Rav Huttner. You got to see the rest of the letter of Beyond the Scope for Tonight. Beyond the Scope for Tonight. The next idea, number 9. The great thing about Kobe is he doesn't blame anybody else. At a certain point, he realizes he's just got to clean up the mess and move on. When a game, they're falling behind, Kobe just takes the ball and does everything himself. Because he understands, ain't nobody else going to do it except for me if I don't do it. And I'm not going to stop till I get the job done. Rav Shach wrote the Avi Ezri, a masterful commentary on the Rambam of analysis. Rav Shach said, if I would have written about all the pain that I've gone through in my life growing up, it'd be longer than all my Avi Ezri combined into one. But I don't have time to complain. I don't have time to write all those volumes of books, because nobody else is going to write the Avi Ezri if I'm busy complaining all day. You understand? A real cleaner, as Kobe Bryant was called, is someone who realizes nobody else is going to pick up the pieces if you're just sitting there wallowing in your own garbage. You pick up and you keep going on. Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, every day was a living hell for him. He lived with complete shaking. He never stopped shaking. It took him 15 minutes near the end of his life just to put his jacket on in the morning so he could daven. But he smiled, and he kept learning, and he went all over the world fundraising because he realized no one else is going to do it for the mirror except for him. He's a cleaner. He gets up and does it. The author of the Kli Chemda, Rav Meir Don Plotsky, the author of the Kli Chemda, lived in pre-war Poland, was poorer than poor. He made a salary as the Rav of his shtetl, and the salary was 2.5 cents per month, maybe a little more. He had cancer for over 30 years. He lived with cancer. His son, his eldest son, died when he was young. His daughters, they went off the derech. He led a miserable life. But you look at the Kli Chemda, and you see this is the writing of a gon. This is the writing of a master. Because he realized, nobody else is going to write the Kli Chemda unless I pull it together and I go ahead and I write the Kli Chemda. Next idea, 10th idea you learned from Kobe. Being relentless means having the courage to say, I'm going for this. And if I'm wrong, I'll make a change and I'll still be fine. You can't control every obstacle that's going to hit you. You just have to learn how to keep swimming no matter what happens. Listen to this insight from Rav Yashiv. The Gemara in Kedushin 29a lists the obligation that a father has to his child. A father has to circumcise his child, perform pidgin aben, right? The father has to teach his son Torah, find a wife for him, teach him a trade. The Gemara concludes and say, Yeshomrim, some say, the father's also obligated to teach his kid what? Swim. Ask Rav Yoshev in his Divrei Agadita. That, of all the things, swimming? There's many dangers on dry land as well. Doesn't mention. Teach him against how to karate so he could fend off bandits. Teach him all these different things that he may need in the real world. What's it with swimming over here? So Rav Yashiv has a chiddush in how to understand that Gemara. He says, what's swimming?
If a person drops a piece of wood into a body of water, it stays on the surface floating on the water. But would you say that that wood is swimming in the river? No. The wood is at the mercy of the water and the currents and where it's taking it. When we say that somebody is bechinas swimming, when they're a swimmer, Rav Yoshev says it means that he's in control of the direction he wants to go when the tides come in. A good swimmer can go even against the current when he needs to. Says Rav Yoshev, life is going to pull you in all different directions. That tide is going to come sweeping through. And the great swimmer means someone who knows how to fight against the tide. They know how to keep moving. And even when the wave takes them down, they get back up and they keep swimming in the direction that they intended to go in. That's greatness. It's understanding that you're going to fail. And when you fail, you pick up and you keep swimming again. That's the 10th idea. Number 11. This is a yesod. Mastery is not about perfection. It's a process and it's a journey. And the master is the one who stays on the path year after year, day after day. I tried an experiment a few years ago in New York. I'm a big fan of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, probably one of our biggest gedolim right now. And I wanted to try an experiment. I wanted to try to live a year of living like Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And I was going to document it, right? A year of living like Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I decided to call his sons to find out little things that he does. I was going to start with the little things and add one practice per day. So I spoke to his son. The first night was easy. What was that? That was if I wake up in the middle of the night. Remember, he has a problem if he wakes up in the middle of the night. He only sleeps an hour and a half. So he has a problem if he wakes up in the middle of the sleep because he can't get up yet. He needs that hour and a half to survive. So, and he can't learn because he didn't wash his hands because he was asleep. So what does he do? If he gets up to wash his hands, he's up.
iPad.
No, but the same thing. What are you doing on the iPad? So what he does is he goes through the names of the Tanayim and the Amorayim of the Gemara for like a minute till he falls back asleep. So that was the first practice. So that night I go to sleep. I'm like, please God, wake me up in the middle of the night. I would love to do this. Baruch Hashem, that first night, I look at the clock. It's 2 a.m. I'm up. Rav Papa, Abaye, Rav Yochanan, this is great. I fell back asleep. I nailed them like Rav Chaim already. The next thing, everyone he sees, he tells them, right, what is his famous line? Bracha v'hatzlacha. By the way, to save time, he's shortened it now to bohatz. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Everyone he sees. I said it's an easy one. I was in Manhattan. Elevator man. Blessing and success. Just going around. What's the idea here? By the way, physiology. We're affected by the things we do. You go through the motions, you're affected. You're impacted by it, no matter what you want. I started adding one more each day. He does a little exercise. He walks up a hill, talks and learning, and then walks down the hill while he talks and learning, and then goes back to learning. Okay, I did little things each day. Within a month and a half, I was sick. I couldn't get out of bed. I was sick. I was shaking. I was shivering. I thought I'd have to call the ambulance. I didn't know what hit me. I had to abandon the whole project. And it dawned on me. You can't become Reb Chaim Kanievsky overnight. You can't become Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Forget that, though. It's a process. His mastery was a process that he started 60, 70 years ago. It wasn't something that he all of a sudden woke up and said, let me just do now an hour and a half night of sleep. Let me stop and learn intensely. This was a process he began from a young age and conditioned himself. That's mastery. Mastery is not all of a sudden taking the world on you. It's setting a goal, step by step, building up. It's a process. It's a journey. That's mastery. That's how you get up there. Next idea. What time is it here? What time is it, Mike?
9:27.
Okay, we got 3 minutes. Here we go. Next idea. Number 12. There's a part of Kobe Bryant that's just so primal. You know where you see it? If you ever watch the video of Larry Bird, it's 1988 All-Star Game three-point contest. Larry Bird already won the three-point contest 2 years before. And on the third year, he was going up against Dale Ellis. Remember from the Supersonics? Dale Ellis was the first one who was finally going to beat Larry Bird. Dale Ellis was on fire. He was on fire. He went first. He was on fire. Larry Bird looks up. He's got his training jacket still on. Larry Bird gets up there, and he focuses, misses the first four. And everybody's patting, you see in the clip, everybody's patting Dale Ellis on the back. And then Larry Bird looks down. He doesn't look up again. Maybe one or two times he looks up. Larry Bird looks down and just nails one after the other, after the other, after the other. At the last shot he shoots, he walks away, doesn't even look if it lands. He just walks away from shooting every single shot and destroying Dale Ellis. You look at him and you understand that for these people, there's something about it that is so primal. They bring out this animal that's in them when it needs to come out and it needs to rear its head. Now for us, a mice, a behemoth, we don't go near a behemoth. That idea is antithetical to Judaism. Look what I found from the Ramchal. The Ramchal has a sefer called Kitzer HaKavanos. It's a summary of kavanas that you're supposed to have on a deeper mystical level when you pray. I didn't understand a single word in the sefer. I understood the introduction. Listen to what he says in the introduction. In the introduction, he says the following. Why do we say korbanos in davening? We mention all the animal offerings. He says, we don't have a base of migdash nowadays. Aren't the prayers nicer than that stuff? He says, you know why we say korbanos? Because inside us is that animal. It's the most primal part of ourself. And when we start our morning, what do we say in the Shulchan Aruch? Yiskaber ka'ari lamad baboker. Wake up like a lion. You first start working from the lowest part of yourself, the animal. And from the animal, you awaken the rest of your day. You awaken that animal screaming inside you. What do we say in this month, right? What's the beautiful teaching of the Shlah, the Pasuk from Amos? Aryeh Sha'ab, right? The lion roars, umi lo yishma. And who will not hear it? It's a Pasuk from Amos. Says the Shlah, Aryeh stands for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. This is the time when the lion screams. What is that? The most primal part of you is calling out. That's the shofar. What's the shofar all about? Rav Yonasan Eibeshit says it's the most primal scream we have. And we're elevating that up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the scream. That's the cry of the shofar. That's the battle cry that these guys go through when their back is against, when their back is mamish against the wall. When their back is against the wall. One more idea and we'll stop here. Last idea. Idea number 13. I want to hit them all. How do you handle the fear? How do you handle the fear? There was a great Yesoda in Batman. Oh, it's powerful. He needs to get out of that cave. Remember, he's stuck like a schlamazel in that cave. And everybody's jumping, and they have the shmata, and they have the this, and he can't get out. What is the guy there lying there lying there on the floor tell him? Stop using the shmata. Why stop using the shmata? Because then, without the shmata, he will be afraid. And with the fear, he could use that as a koach to propel him forward, to give him that energy he needs, that tension that he needs to be able to go forward. And Hitaka is able to come out of it. He's able to go out of it. So this is about Kobe Bryant. It was Michael Jordan. It was during the Bulls season when they won those 72 games. And everyone was tired from they had a long November then, the road trip. And the Bulls were getting killed. It was a rare game for them that season. Bulls were getting killed. And they were playing against the Grizzlies. Michael Jordan, by the fourth quarter, had only 10 points. It was the lowest he had going into the fourth quarter. The Grizzlies star, Derek Martin, starts talking trash to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan shakes his head. And he said, I looked at the clock and realized we may lose this embarrassing game against the Grizzlies. And he said, my fear kicked in. Sweat trickled down my face, and I went to work. And Michael Jordan scored like 19 points in a matter of 6 minutes. You got to see this. It's a decimation. There was nothing they could do to stop Michael Jordan. And everyone just watched. Even the Bulls watched Michael Jordan go to work. Because he says, I use that fear, and I use that as an energy, as a channel, to make me come out even stronger. It gives me that confidence to come out even stronger. That tension of using that fear, of looking at the fear and then accepting it at a certain point and saying, it is what it is, it's telling me something. I'm going to do something about it. That's the aima of Yom HaDin. We want everyone to have this positive, sweet New Year feeling of Rosh Hashanah, but you can't forget that a strong component of Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. It's a day of judgment. You can't forget there are some people on Yom Kippur who still stand for the entire waking moments of Yom Kippur. There are some people who stay in a bowed down position that some posts can recommend for all of Yom Kippur davening. There is that fear that needs to accompany us, because that fear will drive you to success. And the proof is, the minute Yom Kippur's over, you're supposed to pick up that lulav and esrog and hold it straight up like someone who is just victorious in battle. How? How would you have the strength to do that? The idea is because that aima and that pachat of the Yom HaDin chased you down, but you know that you look at it and you use that fear to take you to a stronger point. Aryeh Shav Milo Yira. The lion is screaming. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, Mirtz Hashem. We should use some of these ideas. They're in the world for us to learn from them. We could bring them into our own world. And Mirtz Hashem, we come out mamish like lions. We make this Rosh Hashanah, this Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, a year of bracha, a year of strength, a relentless Yom Narayim for everybody here.